Well, good morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, just for this time that we can open your word together and learn about the great, deep spiritual truths of life straight from your word. And Lord, we've been learning about spiritual warfare and that we're engaged in a battle. That the battle is great and the enemy is powerful. And Lord, we just confess that we need your help. We desperately, desperately need you. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill this place, fill each of our hearts now. I pray against the schemes of the devil and the work of the enemy. Lord, I pray that we would center our thoughts and affections and our minds on you right now, Lord, and that each one of us would understand how to put on the full armor of God to win the victory in the battle in these evil days that we live in today. And so, God, we need your help. We need a great work of your Spirit in our lives, and this can only be accomplished by you in our hearts. If we stand on our own power and in our own strength, we have no power. We have nothing without you. And so, and just come now before we even get into your word to just ask that you would help us and that you do a great work in our hearts, all for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in your name. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we are continuing our series on spiritual warfare as we work our way through Ephesians chapter 6. And we preach the Bible here at Living Hope, line by line, verse by verse. We don't arbitrarily pick topics based on how we feel this week as pastors. And so that's how we got here. So you might ask, well, how did he even figure out we're going to do a series on spiritual warfare? I didn't figure it out. God put it right here in the text, right where it needs to be, and it's applicable to our lives, right where we are today and what we need for today. So we're working through this series on spiritual warfare as we work our way through Ephesians chapter 6. And here, Paul is ending the book of Ephesians, and he's giving them specific instructions. It's the final teaching of the book. And his final teaching is this: to be strong in the Lord to gain victory in the spiritual war of life. And we know from last week, as we saw the context of this and really the introduction in the first few verses, verses 10 through 12, that the true believer that is described in chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians, who lives the Spirit-controlled lives described in chapters 4 through 6, of Ephesians, can be sure to be in a spiritual war. You're in it right now, whether you see it or not. It's happening. And Paul closes his letter with both a warning about that war and instructions for each one of us, very specific instructions, how to win that war, how to be victorious in the battle. And the Lord provides his saints with sufficient armor to combat and thwart the adversary. And there are three main points that we're exploring as we work through this together. The first that we handled last week was that we are at war. Life is war. And we'll not fully know and understand the power of God and the power of prayer in our lives until we know and feel this in our lives. And so we spent a good amount of time just opening our eyes to, yeah, we really are in a war. And many of you came and talked to me after the service, and it was very encouraging to me, and how you're starting to see connections of, yeah, that's why that happened, or yeah, that, now I understand how that came to be, and now I understand how I came through it. And so we saw that we are in a war, and really the stakes of this war are infinitely higher than the stakes of the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and the Middle East today. And we know from the truth of the Bible that there will be no peace until Jesus comes again. That's a fact. And the second point we must also understand and grasp is the sovereignty of God. God is all-powerful. He is sovereign. Because it's only in understanding the sovereignty of God that we can know we will win the war. If you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, then you have no hope. You have no victory. Everything's just kind of randomly popping around. You don't have any hope for the future if you don't believe in the sovereignty of God. And it's only in believing and understanding the sovereignty of God that we'll have hope to strengthen and strength to press on in the battles of life, and to strength and to the perseverance to press on in prayer. You can't pray long without hope. And you can't have hope without the sovereignty of God. And we're going to dig into that next week. That's next week's set of verses. And then finally, we must understand how to put on the whole armor of God to stand victoriously in Jesus against the schemes of the devil. And that is the focus of our text today. So what I want to read is chapter 6, verses 10 through 19, again, to set the context. And then we're going to dig in specifically to verses 13 through 17. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." And so this sets the stage for putting on the armor of God that we're going to read about today. So verse 10, just a quick review. Verse 10, we're at war, and we must be strong in the Lord, he writes. We must be strong in the Lord to stand and fight. We can't fight this fight on our own strength. Our strength is from and in the Lord. You try to fight this battle on your own strength, you are going down hard and fast. Many of you have experienced that. You don't fight this battle in your own strength. Your strength comes from the Lord. In verse 11, he says, we get our strength by putting on the armor of God. And we're going to talk more about that in a moment. That's how you get the strength to stand and fight and win, by putting on the armor of God. And then in verse 12, you know, we looked at that deeply last week, that, you know, we're not contending against flesh and blood here. You know, this isn't roll up your sleeves, get your fighting fists ready, you know, get your guns and knives and all that stuff, you know, loaded and ready to go. You're going to lose. Those aren't the weapons of this warfare. You're not fighting against a mentally or physically weaker enemy here. This isn't flesh and blood that we contend with. We're fighting against the principalities and powers and world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is Satan and his demons that we fight against here. No AR-15 is going to handle that for you. And so the Apostle Paul says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand and stand. In other words, life is war, the enemy is the devil, and he is awesome. Don't underestimate his power and try to take him out on your own strength. And by the way, you can't even see him. And so let's look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, take up the whole armor of God. that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. So let's just dig into that right now. So how do we do this? What does this look like? Very practical teaching here. Take up the whole armor of God. So you get strength, spiritual strength, to fight the spiritual battles of day-to-day life by putting on the armor. Now, that's a bit strange, don't you think? You know, I thought about this a little bit. I'm like, okay, what happens when you put on armor? Usually you get, like, defense, right? It helps you defend yourself, but it usually doesn't make you physically stronger, does it? If anything, you're kind of a bit weaker because that stuff's heavy, right? Anybody, you guys ever tried on a bulletproof vest or anything like that? I mean, gee whiz. I mean, that stuff is heavy. It kind of even makes you slower, you know? So I'm thinking, well, how do you get strength by putting on the armor? You know, I thought we've been reading through 1 Samuel, and David put on Saul's armor, and he's like, I can't even move in this stuff. Right? He's like, I can't. He took it all off. Remember, he went and got his 5 smooth stones and his sling and his rod, and that's all he needed. God took care of the rest. So how do you get strength by putting on the armor? This armor is different than physical armor. This is internal stuff. It's strengthening stuff. When you get it and you put it on, it goes into you. It's not surface stuff. It's going into you. And you gain strength from this spiritual armor to stand and withstand. You know, look how many times those words are repeated in here. 5 or 6 times in this whole text. Stand, withstand, stand, therefore stand. He's saying you got to stand. So you put on this armor. It helps you to stand in strength in the Lord so that you don't fall. And we talked last week, you know, when you're in the battle, you got to stand. When you're on your feet, you have a fighting chance. You fall and you're going to be defeated. In boxing, you know, if you go down, you lose. You stand and you might win. So the point here is stand. Stay on your feet. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might and stand firm. And so by putting on the armor, you have power and strength in the Lord to stand against the devil. He cannot take you down when you have on the armor of God. Now, this is mainly how you fight the devil in your life. Mainly how you do it. Now, there are lots of people who do devil warfare in kind of strange and funky ways. You know, like exorcisms and all this kind of stuff that you're just like, whoa, that was weird. Whoa. Okay. And there are people that are demon-possessed today, and there are exorcisms that happen, and that's real, and there is a place for that. But what we're talking about here, this armor of God, this is how you mainly do this in life today. Most everyone in this room will not experience exorcism in their life. Won't even see that. Right? So this isn't a teaching of, like, there's a devil in every doorknob, and, you know, that's the devil made me do every bad thing in my life. You know, that's not what's in view here. But there is a spiritual battle, and it's real. And this armor of God is how you fight the devil in your life mainly today. And so if you ever wonder, you know, how can I protect my children from the devil? Or how can I keep myself free from the devil? Or how do I get free from the claws of the devil? People ask me that type of stuff. And this is how you do it right here. This is how. It's very truth-oriented. It's not even abstract stuff. The language used here is very direct. And if I just paraphrase it, he's basically saying, do not allow the enemy to find you defenseless. Take up the armor, church. Do it now. Without any hesitancy or waste of time. And remember, take up the full armor, church, not just one piece. He says, take up the whole armor of God. You can't leave one piece out. It's all important. For the purpose, mainly is this, in order that you may be able to stand your ground in the day of evil. And so we always must be ready, because you don't know when the attack is coming from the enemy. You just don't know. And we talked last week about how people are on the alert in wartime. You know, we visit Charleston area, and There's a lot of World War II forts and submarine towers. You know, I thought they were big, like hunting stands or fire watching towers. No, those were towers built in World War II to watch for enemy submarines. Everyone was alert, on the lookout, to spot the enemy and combat the enemy in the day of battle. And that's what the Apostle Paul is writing about here. So be on the alert, put on the full armor, so that you can withstand. Always be ready. And in verse 13, he says, we must withstand. And what he's saying here is we must not fall to the devil's temptations and assaults, but oppose them. See, you're going to take some hits. When the hits come, you've got to be ready to take that hit, have the armor on, and stand against it. And not fall to his temptations and assaults, but oppose them directly. Satan is the wicked one, and his kingdom is the kingdom of sin. And so to stand against Satan is to strive against sin in your life and in the lives of others. And then he says, in the evil day. So what does he mean by that, in the evil day? Is there a specific day that's evil that's coming that we just have to watch for? And is that on the calendar in red letters, the evil day? No. Since the fall of man, every day has been evil. This is the evil day right here. And tomorrow will be one. Yesterday was one. It's constant, present. It's going. It's ongoing. And it will be that way until the Lord returns and establishes his kingdom on earth. So we stand and we withstand in the evil day of severe trial, the critical moments in your life when the devil and his demons will assault you most strongly. And we stand firm against the enemy without wavering. That is the goal. You stand firm without wavering. You have the strength in the Lord to do that. So no one needs to come to me and say, oh, I can't just get Satan out of my life. He's defeating me. You pray, you're in God's word, you put on the armor, you've got the power. Now, the first three pieces of the armor we're going to see, the breast, the belt, the breastplate, and the shoes, they are worn continually by the soldier. The last three pieces, the shield, the sword, and the helmet, are worn when they are engaged in hand-to-hand combat. And the armor Paul refers to here is that of what Roman soldiers of the day would wear. You see all kinds of weird posters with the armor of God, and they got the whole wrong, the context all wrong. You know, they got the medieval knight, you know, like King Arthur's court and all that stuff. It's like, read the Bible. That's the wrong context, right? So the context here is what a Roman soldier would wear. And so he's going to describe it in those terms. And I even brought this little addendum here with some pictures. So after, if you want to see what some of this stuff looked like, you know, I'll have it over here while I'm eating lunch, and you can come and take a look. It's really cool. You can see. When he talks about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, this is kind of what he was looking at or thinking of when he wrote it. So you can see that after the message. So verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Look at verse 14. So the command here again is to stand. You must stand. And you first do that by fastening on the belt of truth. Now, Roman soldiers, they would wear this tunic of kind of loose-fitting cloth under all of their armor and their battle gear. And since ancient combat was largely hand-to-hand combat, a loose tunic was a potential hindrance and a danger. You got stuff kind of flopping out there and loose. Somebody's going to grab a hold of that and take you down. So they would wear this belt to keep it all kind of in, tight. The belt was needed. It would cinch up the hanging material of the tunic, and it would also secure the breastplate. So they wore it kind of higher, right up there above their abdomen, to keep that breastplate in place, to keep the tunic in place. And it would keep all that loose-fitting stuff tight and snug. And it's the belt that pulls all the spiritual loose ends together, and that's truth. Or a better translation here would be truthfulness. And the idea is of some sincere commitment to fight and win without hypocrisy in your life. Isn't that one of the main criticisms of the church today? Oh, it's just full of hypocrites. Because a lot of people in the church today are not truthful, sadly. They don't live a life of truthfulness. They don't put on the belt of truthfulness. And so we put on the belt of truthfulness. We tuck away and cinch together everything that would hinder our witness. Now the belt, it had a sheath for the sword and clips for holding special personal possessions, other small shields. When it's not in use, maybe like Batman's utility belt kind of a thing for the kids in here that are thinking about this. The belt was worn just below the ribs. We talked about that. It would secure the breastplate, and it would be where the soldier would keep his weapons ready for battle. And so, the belt of truthfulness. And we should ask ourselves the question, you know, what kind of person am I? What kind of person are you? Are you a truthful person? Are you known as a person that speaks the truth? Not exaggerating points. You know, there are lots of ways you can lie. You can exaggerate things. Say that it was 10 when it was really 8. You know, a little bit of exaggeration here or there, just outright lies. You know, you got to stop that. You got to repent of that. You got to speak the truth. Not be a hypocrite. When you're a truthful person, you're like that arrow that shoots straight. And if the arrow is not true, if it's a little bit warped, when you pull that arrow back and you fire it, it's going to wham, 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 and it's going to miss the target. So what kind of person are you? Are you a truthful person or a little bit out of alignment there? You need to pray and ask God to help you be truthful, that you be a truthful person, a real person, a truth-driven person. And so that's the first piece of the armor, to put on truthfulness. Be true to God and true to others. Next, he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, in the same verse, verse 14. Now, the breastplate was usually a tough, sleeveless piece of leather or heavy material, sometimes metal. And the leather ones or the heavy material, kind of heavier cloth ones, they'd sew in animal horns or hoof pieces to give extra strength and protection. And it would cover the soldier's full torso. It would protect his heart, his lungs, his other vital organs. And so he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is your chief protection against Satan and his schemes. Righteousness. And this is the righteousness Paul writes about in Romans 6:13. It's doing what is right. Doing what is right. He says in Romans 6:12-14, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been bought from death to life, and your members to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. And so you just do what's right, church. Brothers and sisters, just do the right thing, no matter what it costs. Be a righteous person. The devil is in the business of tempting you to do wrong things. And when you do right things, he is defeated. He's frustrated. He's put back. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Paul says, he describes this as the breastplate of love and faith. And so you ask, you know, what are the right things I can do? How do I do the good works of God? Well, you believe. You put on the breastplate of faith and love. That's what this is. You want to know how to be righteous, you live a life of faith and love. That's what righteousness looks like in the Lord's eyes. It's founded and based in faith and love. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without love, even your best deeds are like a horrible noise to God and to the world. So you put on the breastplate of righteousness. And when you live a life strong in faith and love, you have mighty strong armor to stand against the devil. So faith in Christ and love for him and for others, that is ultimately what protects your heart from evil. That's the breastplate of righteousness. So what about you? Do you put on righteousness each day? Is your heart moving and motivated from faith and love to do what is right. That's how you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Look at verse 15. As shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, Roman soldiers, they wore boots with nails in them to grip the ground in combat. These were like first-generation cleats. Spiky nails on the bottoms of their shoes so they'd grip the ground in combat. And the gospel of peace here pertains to the good news that through Christ, believers are at peace with God and he's on their side. It's in that confidence that you'll have divine support that will allow you to stand firm, knowing that since Christ is at peace, since we are at peace with God through Christ, God is our strength, and he will give us the power to stand and not slip and fall. Now, shoes are very important in war. And verse 15 talks of readiness. Be ready. The devil and his workers are pushed back and defeated when you maintain a state of readiness with the gospel. What does that look like? Well, it's the gospel kind of brewing and simmering in your life, always in your mind and in your heart, always ready to share it with someone else, always ready to give an answer for what you believe. This readiness with the gospel is a protective armor device. Are you ready to share your faith with someone else? You need to be. It's part of the armor of God. Now notice that we don't put on the gospel here. That's not what he's saying. The gospel is the word of God, and the word of God is our sword, according to verse 17. We don't put on the gospel. What we put on is the readiness of the gospel. And I think that means to let your feet be ready to move with the gospel. Feet are for moving from one place to another. And if you put on shoes of readiness, then the idea would seem that to be in readiness is that you're going to move with the gospel. Move with gospel power and with gospel readiness. And I think it's certain that Paul is referring to what he read about or knew from Isaiah 52:7 here, which says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace, who brings good tidings of good news, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so we have a picture of the feet of people who are running to bring good news. And the good news is the good news of peace. And I believe that's what Paul is writing about here. And the gospel is the gospel that we have for the world, for our lost family member, a father or a mother or a sister or a brother or a neighbor or a classmate or some unreached people group that God has put a burden for in our hearts. The gospel that we have is the good news that you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And you can have peace with him by believing in him. That's the good news. As Pastor Rob was saying earlier, you're not going to find it on TV. You're going to find it right here in God's word. That's the only good news there is for today. And so be ready with it. And the aim of our warfare is that people would accept the terms of peace that God holds out, and that they would believe in Jesus Christ. And the only reason there's any conflict at all is because the power of sin and the power of Satan are dead set against making the gospel of peace known to people, and that people would have peace with God. He wants you to have no peace with God. His aim is to take you down hard. And so give the gospel away. Share it freely. It's one of the best ways of experiencing the power of God in your own life. The best way to taste that power of God for your own soul is to give it to someone else. Jesus said, "He who loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And the more ready we are to move with the gospel, the more life and power and joy and security we will know from the gospel. And so what about you? Are you ready to share the gospel? Are you not taken aback when someone says they don't believe? Or they don't know Jesus? Or they don't know God? Those are the moments. Be ready with the gospel. Share the hope that you have in Jesus with them. And by grace through faith, they can be saved and have the living hope you have in the Lord Jesus. Now, the last three pieces of the armor are for engaging in the combat. So we've learned about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the readiness of the gospel. We put those on as shoes. And the last three pieces are for engaging in the combat. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So the flaming darts come. You hold up the shield. They stick in the shield, and they're extinguished. They go out. What are the flaming darts? What is he talking about here? Well, in practical real life, they're the temptations that come at vulnerable times in our lives, aren't they? We felt those flaming darts. They're the temptations to lie, to cheat, to steal. Temptations to doubt God and his power in your times of weakness or in sufferings. Those are the darts, the flaming darts of the evil one. And what is the shield? Well, the shield is your faith. You hold up the shield of faith. Faith in what? Faith in your own intelligence or your bank account or a relationship with someone else to come and save you? No, it's faith in God and in his word and in his power. That's the shield of faith. You put up the shield of faith and you rest in the promises and power of God in your life. As I was preparing this sermon, the thought came to my mind of when I was in the courtroom being falsely accused by my neighbor. And I'm sitting there and, you know, you just have to imagine what that feels like. You don't know what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, the flaming darts start coming in. Doubt. Discouragement. What am I even doing here? Isn't this the United States of America? Fear. And so you start taking the hits with the flaming darts. You're sitting there. And so I open up my Bible to Psalm 25. How appropriately read this morning. And what did Psalm 25 say? To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. And so I'm just reading this and I'm just praying. And that's how you put up the shield of faith. Oh my God, in you I trust. And I meant every word of it from the depth of my soul. I'm trusting in you, God. You're all I got in here. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. And I'm reading this and I'm praying. And that shield of faith goes up, and those darts, they stick into that shield. And the flames go out, and the fear leaves, and the peace floods your heart. And you can sit there in the courtroom and smile in the midst of great adversity when you don't know what in the world's going to happen to you. And you can believe that God's going to win the victory, and that he will turn to me and be gracious to me, as the psalm goes on to say. That's just one example of how you put up the shield of faith in your life. So when you start feeling those flaming darts come, you go to God's word, and you pray, and you claim the promises of God, and that shield of faith goes up, and those flaming darts are thwarted, and you have peace and comfort and strength in that time. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. But to do this, you have to know God's word, and you got to know it well. If you don't know it, you will be defenseless. You'll just be flailing. You got to know God's word. You got to be ready for the battle. You got to be training every day, reading it, praying, every day being ready, putting on the armor. You just throw a brand new recruit into the battle, that recruit's going down. That's why there's training for months and months and months before a soldier goes into battle. And it's the same in your own life. You get into God's word every day. You pray every day. And you put on the armor. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the Apostle Paul calls this the helmet of the hope of salvation. So you put your hope in your salvation in Christ. That's where your living hope is. We talk about it every week. Your hope is in your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you put that on like a helmet, like a soldier's helmet. And the helmet of the hope of your salvation in Jesus, that's what protects your head and your mind when the attacks of the enemy come. Your hope in your salvation, it's a living hope. And that's what will guard your mind in the evil day from the lies and attacks of the devil to try to bring you down. And then he also says in verse 17, and you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is your offensive weapon. All the others have been defensive. Everything else has been to defend. The sword is an offensive weapon. You go on the offense with this weapon. And it's an important part of the armor. Know it and counter the devil's attacks with it. What did Jesus do when he was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil and being attacked by the devil? What did he use to defend himself and to attack back? The word of God. You must know the word of God. That's why we preach it line by line, verse by verse. You need to be learning it in your homes every single day, individually and as families. It's your offensive weapon against the devil. You must know it, be able to quote it, and keep it sharp in your mind. Share it with others to defeat the hold of the devil in their lives. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from its sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." You take the sword of the word and you will win the battle against the devil in your life and in others. So what about you? How much time do you spend in God's word every day? Make it your aim to spend more time in the Bible than you do watching and reading the news. Just do a simple comparison there. Do I spend more time in God's word than I do watching and reading the news? Just a simple diagnostic. If you spend more time watching and reading the news, then flip that. More time in God's word. It'll change your life. Change your whole perspective on life. And then wield it like a proper soldier wields his sword, and hunger and thirst for it in your life as the deer pants for the water brooks. Now, I found it interesting, and that's the armor that Paul lists. I found it very interesting that Paul does not mention there's two other things that a Roman soldier would go into battle with. He'd go with a javelin, and he'd go with a catapult. So a unit of Roman soldiers would have a catapult. They'd pull that catapult back, and that's what they'd use to attack a city. And they would carry a javelin so that they could disable the enemy at a distance. They'd pull that javelin, and they'd throw it at a distance to take out a shield, because the enemy would put up their shield. The javelin would stick all the way through the shield, and the shield would be useless at that point. They'd have to drop the shield because the javelin was stuck in it. So Paul didn't mention those things. Yet a Roman soldier would have had them. So it's interesting that the items he lists, they're very personal in nature. Nothing for distance warfare. Like I said last week, this battle is not where you're sitting at a desk pressing a button and firing a missile 3,000 miles away and getting the sensor reading that you hit the target. No, this is hand-to-hand mortal combat, this spiritual battle. And so Paul doesn't list things like javelins and catapults here, because the battle is face-to-face. And really, I think that's why mass evangelism is very limited in its effectiveness, because the gospel is intended to be shared person-to-person, face-to-face. I'm not saying it's not good for anything, but I think it's limited in its effectiveness. If that's your whole strategy, you don't have a most effective strategy. And so, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the attacks of Satan and his demons every day. That's the message of the text today. Now, a key part of the armor is prayer, and we're going to dig into that next week in great detail. And that's really where the real power comes from is prayer. And so let's pray together. Oh, Father, help us. Help us to put on your full armor every day and to stand in the battle and withstand the attacks of the devil, Lord. Help us to put on truthfulness and righteousness and the readiness of the gospel and the helmet of the hope of salvation and the shield of faith and the sword, Lord, which is your word. Help us to put these things on and to be ready and to stand and withstand in the battle. Just fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and make this possible in our lives, Lord. Not for our glory, Lord, but for yours, Lord Jesus. We desperately need you, and we thank you for the victory we have in you. We pray in your name. Amen.